Rabbi Ball wanted us to go into the area a little further. The Ramban is in the Ramban that we discussed on Schus Avos. And the Ramban says, Tama Schus Avos, there is no more Schus Avos for us. We've lost the Schus Avos. And the Ramban cites a Pasuk in Yecheskel. Pasuk in Yecheskel, where the Pesukim in Yecheskel, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that the only reason that we will be redeemed is because of Kiddush Mor Gadol, no other reason. So this we don't have Schus Avos anymore, the Ramban says. Now, the Ramban is based on a Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Nun Hei Amud Aleph, and Rabbi Ball wanted to go through that at length further and to delve into it a little deeper through the Gemara, which is fine. So what we're going to do is we will do that, and we'll start with the sugya, the sugya in Shabbos. But the sugya in Shabbos is tied into another area, and you can't really separate them. And that starts with the Gemara in the Nun Dalet Amud Beis. So we'll take that Gemara. We'll start from there, and we'll see. We'll hopefully try to finish it today. We'll see. All right. The Gemara says like this. The Gemara says that Kol mi she'efshe limchos la'anshe beiso v'lo micha. Anyone who has the ability to object to things that are done wrongly in his house, and he doesn't, so nitfas la'anshe beiso. So nitfas la'anshe beiso. Rashi says, he is punished for the averos of the Anshe Beiso. In other words, if he sees his family is doing something wrong and he doesn't object, doesn't do anything, even though he's a tzaddik gomor, but in those averos that he doesn't object to, he himself will be nanash. He will suffer the onesh and the consequences of that avera. It's an interesting chazal. And it goes on. It says, Ba'anshe Iro, if he can object to averos in his city, and he doesn't, nitfas al anshe iro. Those averos that the people in the city are doing, he himself has to take full blame and full responsibility for those averos, and he will be nenesh on those averos. Even though he's a tzaddik gomer, he never did any of those averos. And then the Gemara continues. The Gemara, and this is, it happens to be very appropriate, because I think it's an extremely important Gemara to learn, because it's one that's very practical, especially in today's world. I mean, guys are going into Rabbanus, and you have to know what to do, when to do, how to do it. It's a matter, and when it comes to objecting, it's not a simple matter, that I can tell you. But let's go further. The Gemara says that b'chol olam kulo, it's a virus in the entire world, nitfas al kol olam kulo. Alright, so Rashi explains, V'chol olam kulo, v'chol Yisrael, kigon, melech v'nasi, she'efshelo limchos, she'yirein mipanov, u'mekaymen dvarov. So Rashi already qualifies. He says that this macha is only for a certain individual. What do you mean? Everybody's just going to go around being mocha on the averis in the world. Who is he to be mocha? So Rashi says it's speaking about a person that has a certain position, like a melech or a nasi, that people are afraid of him, and they listen to his words, then he has the responsibility to be mocha. He has the responsibility to be mocha. But if he knows that people don't listen to him, he's not a gavra that's in that kind of a position, then of course the chazal are not relating to him. He has no reason to object. Okay? So Rashi apparently holds by Anshe Beiso the same thing. It means in Anshe Beiso, everybody in their household is a gavra who has influence, and the people in the household listen to him. So therefore, he's a gavra that is in a position to object. And if he doesn't, so then he must suffer full consequences, take full responsibility. Okay. And then the Gemara goes on and says like this: Ki Odama Rabbi Chanina. So why does it say, because before in Yeshayo it says the Sorim were the Chotim. And now it says the Zikanim, so why should the suffer, Ela Emal, the Kanim Shalom Michu Besar. That this Kanim will be Nenash. They are going to suffer the Onesh because they didn't object against the Tsar, what the Tsar did. And then the Gemara goes on. The Gemara goes on, just go briefly. The Gemara says, Yudav Yassus Kame to Shmuel, if Yudav is sitting in front of Shmuel, Osai Itzokot Savcha Kame. So this woman came by into the bezdin and she was crying. She was screaming. So Ava Mashgach Boy, I didn't listen to her. So Talmud said to him, Lo Savale Mar Otem Ozno Mizakas Dal, Gam Hu Yikrovi Lo Yeone. It's an open pasuk. The pasuk says that if you close your ear to the cry of a person that's needy and is poor, so then you too will cry and God won't answer you. Amalei, or you won't be answered. Amalei Shinano. He says, Reshach Bikariri, Reshi de Reshach Bachamim. So he says, your Rebbe, which is me, is in cold water. But your Rebbe's Rebbe is in hot water. In other words, like this. That he says, a Yosef Marukfa Avbez. Marukfa is the Avbez. The Chsiv, Beis David, Ko Amar Hashem, Dimula Bokam Mishpat, Fatilu Gozul, Miyad Oshek. Tente Te Kaish Hamosi, Uvorovain Machabem, and Nero Malalecha. So the Gemara answered him like this: that it's true I'm there, but the one that has the responsibility is the Avbezdin, and the Avbezdin is sitting there, and the responsibility is on him. So therefore, I will not be Nenash, even though this poor woman is crying. I don't have to listen to her because I'm not the Avbezdin. That's not my job. You see. So the Gemara over there, I mean, right away you see it's not just a simple matter. That a person just goes about being mocha, you know, just screaming and being mocha. Because just being mocha can cause a lot of harm too. I mean, it can lead to machlekes, it can lead to... But you have to know who and when and how. But here the Gemara makes a distinction. That for me, just to be mocha, I'm just sitting in the bezin, that's not my position. As a matter of fact, the system of bezin is a very specific system. And the responsibility is on the Av Bezdin, that's his responsibility, and you shouldn't interfere. That's his responsibility. That's the way the Bezdin works. The Av Bezdin is in charge. And for you just to kick up a storm in the Bezdin, so to speak, you're out of place, and on the contrary, you cause harm. He says, this is not my obligation, it's not my fear. So a person has to know what is responsibility. Whose responsibility is it, he says? That's my workforce's responsibility. Okay. That's one incident the Gemara records. Now the Gemara goes on like this. Now the Gemara gets into the heart of the idea of criticizing and correcting others. And the Gemara says like this: Amar le Rav Zeri le Rav Simon lo chachinu mar lahani de beresh galusa. He says you should go and you should object. You should protest to the Reish Galusa because he was doing certain things that weren't proper. Amalei, so he answered him, Lo Mekabli Minar. He won't accept it from it. Amalei, so he said to him, Afal Gav de Lo Mekabli, even though he doesn't accept it, Lo Chachinuma, you still have to protest. You still have to be Mochiach. You still have to reprove him. Why? Amar Ravacha Bar Chanina. We never find a case where God gave forth a midah tova, something good, and then he took it back, so to speak, and when it was converted into evil, chutz midavazeh. This is the only case that you find such a thing. It's amazing Maimar Chazal. Okay, the Chsiv. Of course, the Pasuk says like this, Pasuk in Yecheskel, that Yecheskel had an avuah, Vayomar Hashem Elov. And God said to, let me just stop for a minute, let's go back, take Taisis. Taisis says, Laf agav lo mekabli lo chachinamar, and even though they don't accept what you're going to say, so he said to him, Rav Zera said to Rav Simon that even though they won't accept what you tell them, they're not going to listen to you, still you should go go and reprimand them. You still have to reprove them. So Tesis says, Tesis qualifies. He says, Hainu, that's only Heched the Suffolkin Makabli. If you have a doubt whether they will accept it or not. He says, Kedama Basamach, like the Gemara is going to explain soon, we'll get to it. Lefnei Migol, Aval Heched the Vadelo Makabli, but where they're definitely not going to accept what you say, he says, then you shouldn't. Hanachlan, then leave them alone. Why? Mutashi Yushogin Val Yomezidin. It's better off that they should be, they should do the verb of shogeg. Now you're making them amazed because they're definitely not going to listen. Come in by maybe kadigai. Okay. That's what Tesis says. The Tesis qualifies. He says, when do you reprimand somebody? Only if you're in doubt. Maybe they'll listen, maybe they won't. And that's the Gemara's question over here. But if you're not in doubt, if you know for certain they're not going to listen, then you should abstain. Refrain from doing it. Why? Because on the contrary, you make it worse. Because now the people hear what you say, and they know it's wrong, and now it becomes more clear that it's wrong. So you're rendering people from the status of a shogeg where they don't know exactly to you're making them more of a mate. Okay. Now let's go back to the Gemara. So the Gemara says like this. So the Gemara says that, the Gemara is saying though that even though you don't know whether they're going to accept it from you or not, still in all you have to correct them. That's the case of the Gemara, right? Because that's what Reb Simon told So, because the Simon said he says they're not going to listen. So he says, even though they don't listen. So Tyson explains, it doesn't mean they won't listen for sure, it means they may not listen. Okay? So you have three cases. They won't listen, they may not listen, and they will listen. So Reb Simon thought he only has to reprove them where he feels they'll listen. But let's say you're not sure, you don't know if they'll listen, so he refrained. So Reb Zera said, no, if you're not sure, even though you think that they're not going to, even though your inclination is that they're not going to listen, but you don't know for certain, that's just your intuition about the case, but you don't know for certain, the person has in mind, says they're probably not going to listen to me. But he doesn't know for sure, because there's a possibility the person will listen. The person has bechira, has free will, you don't know for sure, but your inclination is that they're not going to listen. But then there's a case where you know for certain this guy's not going to listen. I mean, he's shot the favera, and his bechira is not even working here. I mean, he's out of it. He's definitely not going to listen. Certain things you know, that the person is simply, it's impossible for this person to change. He requires a major overhaul before he can listen to this thing. In that case, they says you don't do it. Okay. But if you feel, even though you feel they're not going to listen to you, that's your inclination, you still have an obligation to object. Okay, so the halacha is far from simple, and in order to really understand it, we're going to have to understand every case. Every specific case that the halacha expresses itself in. But let's just go back to the Navi. Okay, so the Gemara says, how do you know this? Because the Navi says, Vayoma Hashem Elov Avor Besochir Besochir Shalayim V'Svisa Tof Al Mitzchos HaAnoshim HaNeNochim VaHaNeNochim Al Kol HaToivos HaNasos Besochir. Okay, so in the time of Yecheskel, so people in the Migdash were doing Toevos, abominations of Adazara, various things Navi describes. So Hashem told Yecheskel he should go into Yerushalayim, and this was an Amarin for, and you should write a tuff on the forehead of the people that are upset, Ne'enochim v'ne'enochim. I mean, they're really upset at what's going on, the Avodah Zorah that's going on in the Mikdash. Okay? So the Gemara says, Amalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeGavriel, Gemara explains, Lechu Rishom al Mitzchon shel Tzadikim Tof shel Dio. So he says, put a black tuff of ink, Shelo Yishlutu Bahem Malachei Chavolah. So when the Onish comes, When the plague befalls them, so it won't affect them if they have that black tuff. Okay. But al mitzchom shel rishayim, but on the forehead of the evil people, this is in Maran Avot, tuff shel dam. You should write a tuff of blood. Kedeshi Yishlitu Bohem Malachei Chavola, in order that the Malachei Chavola should be effective. So the forces of destruction will be effective on the people who have the red tuff written on their forehead, and the people who have the black tuff on their forehead, the tzaddikim, they won't be affected by the forces of destruction. So the Gemara says, Amra midas adin, Amra midas adin, l'snei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Midas adin said before God, Ribono Shel Olam, ma nishtana ve'lo me'lo. What's the difference between these tzaddikim, the guy, the ones with the black tuff, and these Rishoyim, the ones with the red tuff? So, so to speak, metaphorically, God answers the Midas Adin, Halalu tzaddikim gemurim v'halalu Rishoyim gemurim. That these guys with the black tuff, they're tzaddikim gemurim. The guys with the red tuff, they're Rishoyim gemurim. So it makes perfect sense. Amra lefanov, so the Midas Adin said before God, Ribono Shel Olam, Hayo biyadam limchos v'lo michu. They had the ability to protest, and they didn't. On my law, so God answered the Midas Adin, Goli v'yadul afanai, I know, she'en michu b'hem, that even if they did protest, even if they did object, lo yikavu mehem, they wouldn't accept this one. On my lafanav, so the Midas Adin said, Ribono Shel Olam, in lafanecha goli, if you know that they won't accept the reproof, lo'en mi goli, they can't know. They don't know. V'hainu says. He says, and that's what the next pasuk says. That's what the further in the parakeet says. Zakein bachur uvesula taf v'noshim tehargu l'mashchis v'al kol ish asher olav atof al tikshu. So first it says that you shouldn't go near the one that has the tuff, the black tuff. U'minikudashai techelu. But now the pasuk switches. It says, u'minikudashai. I think what's the meaning of kudashai? You should start the forces of destruction from my Migdash. And says so they began, and the forces of destruction began against those Zakenim that were Lefnei Abayis. Tan Rav Yosef, I'll take from Migdashai, El Mekudasha. Elu B'nei Adam, Shekim Rosh HaTorah Kula, Me Alaf HaTov. This is referring to the people of Mekayim Kol HaTorah Kula, Tzadikim Gemurim. Wasn't there anymore because that was Shlomo HaMelech already rebuilt the Mizbeach, and he had Mizbech Adama, a bigger one. Amalu HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Atchilu Mimakom Sheomrim Shira Lafai. The Mizbech HaNechoshes is a reference to the clay shir of Nechoshes. It means begin from the place where they say shira. Uman minu shisha nashim, and what are these six people? Amar v'chista ketzef afachemo mashchis mishaber machala. Okay, that's the Gemara. So in other words, it means these six people that were really forces, it's a derech mashal, the Mari Nevuah, but the people are simply malachei chavala, which means forces of destruction. Okay. So that's basically the Gemara. So what is the so this Gemara requires some kind of an explanation, an understanding. I mean, it's one thing to say that a person's supposed to protest, they're supposed to object, but what is this whole dialogue? I mean, this whole dialogue, Chazal presented this in the form of a dialogue between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the so to speak, and the Midas Adin, I mean, that it would seem that there's a whole, that it's not such a simple matter. I mean, there's a whole Shakla Vataria, there's a Avmina Maskana there. So what exactly is the underlying idea behind this dialogue, this Shakla Vataria, with regard to being Mocha? I mean, if you have to be mocha, so you should be mocha. If you're not mocha, you're not mocha. I mean, so you did an avera, a lot of avera. But here it's more, obviously, more than just simply a question of not doing what you're supposed to. But it's a whole of understanding that's required over here with regard to the concept of being mocha and not being mocha. So apparently at first, the argument was presented that they know they're not going to, they weren't mocha, okay. They're tzaddikim gemurim, and they weren't mocha, and they don't think that, they don't think that they should be mocha, because they're not going to listen to them. But then the Gemara says that, the Midas HaDin says, yeah, but they don't really know for sure that they're not going to listen. Because as I said, because it says, God answered, he says, they wouldn't listen. So the Midas HaDin says, but not l'sneihem. Alright, okay, l'fanecha goli, l'hem mi goli. And that argument was the correct argument. And that's why what happened was that the tzaddik and gemurim were all destroyed. Just the same as the Rishayim. As a matter of fact, it began with the tzaddikim. It's an amazing thing. Began with the tzaddikim, makom sha'omim shira. So there's another concept here, there's another idea here, why it began precisely over there, in the makom sha'omim shira, and precisely with the tzaddikim. Okay. So, it seems like this. The concept is, the idea is like this. At first the argument is, that these, what's the difference between these people, the ones with the tough, and the ones without the tough? And the answer is, the ones with the tough are tzaddik and gemara. It means that they can't be responsible for the averis of the opposing side, the Rishayim. So then the argument, the next argument is no. If they weren't mocha, so they are responsible. Okay, they are responsible. Yeah. In that argument, you see, the argument is that they have a responsibility, a person has a responsibility to others simply to make sure that in Klal Yisrael, these averis aren't done. So in other words, so therefore, if that, in that sense, if we say that tzaddik is nitfas, in that sense, you see, so then we're saying that what we're saying is, he's nitfas for the fact that he has a responsibility to others. Okay? In other words, I have to take care of myself, that's one response, but I cannot remove myself from my responsibility to Klal Yisrael. After all, Klal Yisrael is an entity which HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, and I have responsibility, so far as Tayag Mitzvahs, I have responsibility to others. So if I don't correct others, so that's my responsibility. My responsibility is because I didn't correct the avera of the other person. Okay? That's a different kind of a thing than being a Baal HaAvera myself. It's a different kind of Avera, you see. A different kind of Avera. But now we come to the crucial point. And that's why the Gemara puts it in a dialogue form. Because the next point is, but they won't listen. I think they won't listen. Now, the argument is a very strong one. Because if they won't listen, so then why should I protest? Why should I object? Because if I object, I may in fact place them in the situation that Taisa says. That now they're at least, it's not clear what they're doing, so they're shogeg. The more I bring it to their attention, and if I reprimand them and reprove them properly, I have to show them the ideas clearly, not just, shout out, you know, this is wrong. I mean, that's not really a reproof. That's just like a stupid kind of reproof. But a reproof means you show the person clearly with ideas what they're doing wrong. So now I'm placing them in a situation where if they're shogeg and they keep on doing what they're doing, then they'll be mazed. So here's really a very good question. Why should I do it? Let's say I'm a suffolk. I don't know. So, shave al tasa. Don't do anything. Because you may help them, but then again, you may harm them. So what gives you a right to go ahead and to do anything? I'll sit back. Shave al tasa. Don't do. Maybe I'll make it worse. As a matter of fact, the Gemara says that in the story, that in the event, the incident, incident where Reb Zera of Simon, he says, he's not going to accept from me. So apparently his assumption was more towards the side that he's not going to accept. I mean, if he had to give an estimation, if he had a guess, he would say that probably won't accept from it. Probably won't accept. But nevertheless, he's chayev because he can't really say that the person's basira in this instance is impaired. It's just the probability if he doesn't exercise his bechira. All things being equal, probably won't listen. But you can never tell a person's bechira, only God knows. That's only going into the funnel. So as long as you can't say that his bechira has been impaired in this avera, and he's not in the realm where he even can be involved in bechira over here, so you mechuyis do. But why don't I say that it's a suffix and maybe I'll make it worse? I mean, that's the argument, basically. That's a powerful argument. But the Gemara says no, that finally the Midas Adin wins. Because the Midas Adin says no, as long as you don't know for certain, so then you must protest. You must object. As long as the person is still in the state of Bechira, you must. But the question is why? You might be making it worse. On the contrary. Yeah. But I think what Chazal is saying over here is a different idea in objecting. You see, the thing is like this, that objecting is not a political activity. See? There's a certain thing that a person, and that was the Havamina. Havamina was objecting as a political action. In other words, I must think politically. Am I going to, what is the outcome going to be? Am I going to accomplish something? Or not. So I have to weigh it according to my chavas das, my asharas das, my estimation. I have to, what else can I do? I can only estimate. So the havamina was that's what machoah is. And machoah is to estimate, it's a political activity, and any political activity before you do it, so you have to figure, what's the outcome? What are the chances of it? So I have to go by my intuition of what the outcome is going to be. My intuition based on intelligence, analysis of the situation, and I have to come to some kind of an intuitive conclusion. That's really what the Gemara held at first. And
why not?
Hello?
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 If we can hear you, please put your mute button on. Not Rebbe. The other person just came in. Thanks. Okay, please continue, Rebbe. Sorry about that.
Okay. So the Havamina of the Gemara is that Machor, protesting, is a political activity. In a political activity, you have to think over what you're doing and try to have some kind of an idea of what the outcome's going to be. If that's the case, that was really Reb Simon's answer. He says, Lo Makabla Minoi. You asked me to correct him. I have a responsibility, but correcting is a political activity, so therefore I have to have some way to come to a conclusion whether I think they will listen or they won't listen. And if they probably won't listen, then I shouldn't do anything, because on the contrary, Mutafshiyu Shogun while you're mizin. So the Gemara answers no. This is what the Gemara is saying. It is not a political activity. You see, Machor is an activity of the soul, which means to say that a person that loves mitzvah and detests avera, when he's in the presence of avera, he must protest. You see, what does it mean? It means like this. It means that he can't, you see, there's two things over here. One thing is that he can't have any concern for his acceptance from the people he's protesting against. That should be no concern whatsoever. And the evil, his protesting is not for them, it's for his own perfection. His perfection demands that he does an action where he risks his acceptance among people because he expresses what is true. You see, he, exp- expresses what is true. And that is a perfection for the tzaddik. So he's not protesting because of a political kind of action. The protest is his own perfection and his own removal of his soul from that which is evil. So that which is evil demands that a person has to despise and hate evil. So a function of a person's perfection is to place at stake his acceptance from humanity, whether it's his family, whether it's his city, or whether, if he's a great political figure, the popularity of the entire world. He has to be willing to place himself in a position to forego acceptance and to accept being shunned by society, accept being shunned by his town, the people that he likes and that he lives among, and accept being shunned by his own relatives, the closest people, closest of kin, people that are closest and most important to him. He has to do that. When he does that, that is an act of perfection vis-a-vis those averos that he is in the presence of, that he's witnessing. And if he doesn't do that, so then he's not perfecting himself. Not only is he not perfecting himself, but he is caving in to the avera itself. He himself is the Baal Avera. You see, he himself is the Baal Avera. So it comes out like this. That's why the halacha is that even that's the dialogue over here. The dialogue is, the question is, what is macha? Is macha a political activity, or is macha an activity of perfection of the soul? If it's political, so then you have to assess and evaluate what the outcome's going to be. But if it's an activity of the soul, of your own perfection, insofar as you love the good and you despise evil, so then this is an opportunity for the individual to perfect his soul. So if he fails to do it, he partakes of the same avera. Not only that, but that's why the only time he's not allowed to do it is if he knows for sure he's going to harm the other people. You see, if it were a political action, so then he would only do it if he felt the outcome was going to be a good one. If it's an activity of his own soul and his own perfection, that he throws away the acceptance of others and speaks that which is true and embraces good, then the only time he's not allowed to do that is if he knows that other people are definitely not going to listen. Why? Because you can't perfect yourself at the expense of others. That's a different concept, you see. But as long as it's not at the expense of others, because the others have the free will to do what you're telling them and to perfect themselves as well, they have that ability, so then you must perfect yourself. You see, then they have no right to stop you, because they have the free will, they can do it. You're not harming them, that's their problem, you see. That's not your problem. So no one can interfere with your perfection. That's why, even if you think the outcome will not be good, but this is your perfection. This is an act of perfecting yourself. Throwing away the acceptance of others in order to embrace the truth, and in order to manifest that manifestation, that expression of that which is good in the presence of those who hold from evil, is the greatest perfection of the soul in embracing the good. And if you fail to do that, then you are embracing evil. Because what you're doing is, you are caving in and abandoning your position, you see, because you don't want to lose favor in other people's eyes. What it shows is like this. It's an interesting thing. You see, first they were called Tzaddik and Gemorah. And then they suffered the same fate as the Russia. How is that possible? I mean, it would seem unfair on the surface. Because, okay, so I didn't, look, I'm a tzaddik gomer, I'm trying to talk my mouth. But the fact is, now I didn't do this thing, so I didn't do this extra thing. I don't have extra credit, so to speak. But how do I become a Russian? See, that's the problem. But the answer is like this. You see, it's an interesting thing. What Chazal is telling you is like this. That sometimes a person can be going b'derech tovah. to be going in a good path. But a good path leads a person to situations of challenge. It's not just a good path. Now you finish. I mean, a good path has its own misionos, its own challenges along the road, along the course. And sometimes a person can be going in a good path, and that path will lead him to a further challenge where he will lose everything. You see? The next challenge could place the person in a worse position than he would have been had he never gone on the path. Okay? And in other words, like this. Let's say, for instance, a person decides to, let's take a case which everybody thinks is an outlandish case, but the Torah doesn't. A person becomes a nothing. What could be greater than that? I mean, it means a person went to the, perfected himself and reached the highest level, and now he's in the realm where he receives Nevuah. But the person could be Kovesh Nevuah, so in Chayav Misa. So you see, the fact that he became a Navi doesn't really help him. He would have been better off had he not been a Navi. Because now that he's a Navi, now he has a further challenge, and the further challenge is he's not allowed to be Kovesh Nevuah, so. And it's a different challenge. Now it's very hard. He has this Nevuah. He doesn't want to tell people about this Nevuah. This Nevuah is going to cause him a lot of problems. He'd rather stay home and sit and learn. I mean, he doesn't want to do it. But now if he's Kovesh Nevuah, so he's Chayav Misa, he is far worse than had he never been a Navi to begin with. So you see that a person could be going in, on the Derech HaTov, but that Derech HaTov leads him to other challenges. If he fails in a subsequent challenge, it depends on the kind of a challenge it is, but it could be a challenge where everything is completely undone. You see? That's exactly what the Gemara is saying over here. That these people were Tzaddik and Gemara. But now they came up against a challenge. And the challenge is, do I speak out for the truth? Do I perfect my soul by throwing away the acceptance of the people, or do I cave in and do I say, nope, I must have that acceptance? So if I cave in, so then I'm nitfas, not because of their avera, because my avera. That means that everything that I did, all the good that I did has now been completely undone. And now I'm in the state of a Russian, and I'll suffer the same fate. That's exactly what Chazal will say. That's really the idea of the Chazal. Okay. Any questions?
Yeah, we have a question.
Yes. That's correct. That means the soul now is embracing evil. Because of the fear of loss of acceptance, but that doesn't matter. That now he's embracing evil. That's what Rabbi said. That's why the Amish are so severe. And that's what Rabbi Zera told Rabbi Simon. That you can't, it's not a political issue. It's not a political issue. It's an issue of your soul. This is an opportunity now. You have to go and the Reish Galutza can spit in your face and you have to nevertheless tell him what the truth is. And he doesn't accept you, you'll be a nobody for the rest of your life. But that's what you have to do. You must do that, you see. You have to do that. And if you don't, that means that you're caving in because of the acceptance of the Reish Galutza, because of your own position, then you're embracing evil, and that's it. Okay? That's what Chazal said. That's the idea for Tessa. Okay? All right.
You have another question, Rabbi.
What's your question?
The decision that the Tzaddik makes, if he's so chacha or not, you know, when you evaluate whether the guy will be mekabel, that's based on psychological phenomena, the knowledge of the psychological bent of the person receiving the chacha.
Yeah, it's like any other decision, a political decision. You have to have a certain. Not everybody can make these decisions. I mean, you have to be you have to have a knowledge of people and how they work and what the chances are of it being accepted. I mean, that's a political knowledge. You have to have political knowledge. Yeah. Now, let me just continue one more while we're here. You see, it's interesting. The Gemara says that where did it start from? From the Mizbach HaNechoshes. So the Gemara says, but there was no Mizbach HaNachoshes in the time of Yecheskel, because he was after Shlomo HaMelech, and it was a Mizbach HaVonim. So the Gemara says, no, it means, Aschil Mimakom Shomrim Shira Lafanar. That's the concept of Shira. What is the idea of Shira? The idea of Shira, as we mentioned many times, means when the individual knows, there's one thing for an individual intellectually to know what the good is, but then there's another thing for the individual to embrace it with all his emotions. That his emotions follow the knowledge. That is a different step. That's the idea of Shira. Shira is where the emotions follow the knowledge. So that means that the person completely embraces it. So that's why the Navi says that God said that the onus will start from the place where they say Shira in the Migdash. Because what are all the mitzvahim, all the mitzvahim in the Migdash? Every mitzvah in Tehillim is a beautiful idea about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, about Yedias Hashem, some idea, and then it's considered Shira because of the fact that it's accompanied by music to demonstrate the fact that the emotions have to fall in line with that idea. So it shows you the person that can't protest. It means he may be a tzaddik gomer in terms of he knows what the good is, but in terms of it, when it comes down to it, he really can't embrace it. And that's why, because he can't embrace the good, so then on the contrary, he loses, and then he's brought to a parashas drachim, a crossroads, where he's going to embrace evil. Now he's going to have to embrace evil. So that's why it's from Makom Shira. That's why the Gemara says that it began from that place. Okay.
Rebbe?
Yes.
I'm curious. If it's a case where you wouldn't apply a mut of shoe shogun value mezidin.
Right.
I'll give you an example. Let's say a person, you know, the society has corrupt ideas about God.
Right.
You don't apply that principle. Let's say they think God's physical.
You don't apply it?
Let's say that people think that God's physical, that he has whatever.
Right.
Physical attributes.
Right.
But you also know if you call out to them, it won't change them. But do you have to do it insofar as, you know, showing your own perfection?
No,
it won't have a negative effect on them because they're already in bad shape.
Oh, you mean like where Tavodah Zarah Mamash, you mean?
Yeah, like people have incorrect ideas about God.
Right, okay.
Yisariya Das.
Right.
So you won't be ready. There's no idea of Shogun and Mezidim there.
I mean, your question is that in that case, you're not going to harm them, you mean?
That's correct.
I mean, because they're so far gone already.
Right.
I would only say this, that I would say the following, that there are different levels. You see, Avodah Zarah is not just a simple idea. And with this, I think we've mentioned many times, because the Torah, the whole essence of Torah, is the removal of Avodah Zarah and Derech Avodah Zarah from the soul of a person. Okay? But you see, for instance, certain things, there are different levels. Like you see, like the Meiri says with regard to certain things that Chazal, the person that has that idea is turned away from God. Okay, and his idea of God has to be corrupt. But there's different levels of corruption, you see? So it would depend. What you're asking me is if the individual has reached a level where it can't get worse. If that's your question, then perhaps in a chanami. But I'm just saying in a practical way, I don't think that that's true. Because even though a person may have a corrupt idea, when you say a person thinks that God is physical, Yichud Hashem is a very, very big parsha. And there's a lot of ways that a person could think that God is physical, but yet it would not be, he will not be that far. In other words, it depends how far removed the Chazal would say. If a person keeps Shabbos, so even if it's over the Vazor Kedor, I know she's Mochon Lo. So it means to say that he may have a wrong idea, but he's not completely He's not completely out of the realm. You understand? There are degrees. There are degrees. If it's the, it's not a simple matter, because, like I said, Yichud Hashem is a great, it's an infinite parsha, really. And any violation of Yichud is really, the fate is going to, you know, be the same in the same way. I mean, it's, a denial of Yichud Hashem is ipso facto, hakshava. But insofar as the soul is concerned, there are those that are more far away removed, and those that are removed, but they're not that far. The Torah, the only one that can draw the line is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's what's done in the Torah and Halacha. And that's why the Meiri says that even though Zugos is superstition, but Chazal didn't intervene because you're not gonna stop them with this. So there you could argue, yeah, but if you really study that idea of superstition, I mean, it's against Chav Onus, it's against the Sodi Adas, it's true, it definitely is. When you logically draw out those conclusions from Chav Onus and the conclusions from superstition are usually contradictory. That's correct. But it's not at such a dava pashut that the person is completely removed from that yisod. There are degrees of being related to the Yisodi Adas. So you have to be careful. It's not a simple matter. But definitely it would be true if the person were in the worst possible level. That's something else. But that's not simply Benimsa. I mean, that's not the ordinary case. Now, I'm not saying it's not possible. I'm not saying there aren't cases like that. You'd have to evaluate that. But I think you'd be correct in that case. If it's hopeless, the guy is completely hopeless, so then you don't say anymore, Mutashi Yishagin, well, you may didn't. I mean, then he's amazing, basically. I mean, then he's amazing. You see, in other words, what you're presenting to me is the guy's an absolute amazing.
And therefore, if he's amazing, is it necessary for your soul to protest?
If he's amazing, yes. Amazing, yes. It would seem so. Because the only time you don't is because of that principle, that you're not allowed to harm the other person. Mutashi Yishagin, well, you may didn't. That's clear. But if he's amazing, yes, absolutely. Then it's awful. Then you must protest. And that actually explains that phenomenon. Why is it that the only time you don't protest is because of Mutav Shiyashogin, or you may see them? But otherwise, even though I'm not going to listen to you, you still must protest. That itself is a strange thing. Let's say, for instance, I know they're may see them, so I don't have that answer. So now I must protest. What am I doing it for? There's no purpose in it. But the answer is, you must protest insofar as you yourself are concerned. Then you must do it. And you see that the halacha bears that out. The halacha actually bears that out, and that's a further corroboration of the idea that the protesting is for the protester himself. That's a part of his bechira. That is, now his bechira has brought him to this juncture where he has to do this activity. Okay?
Rebbe?
Yes, thanks.
I have another question. What happens if it's a mixed bag? For example, that you know you're protesting, some people will now be mazed, they won't listen to you, but others will not participate in the evil. So you can help and harm at the same time. What's the halacha in that situation? Which is, I think, pretty prevalent, as man hazeh.
Well, the answer is very simple, that you have to use chachma in the way you protest. And you have to single out the individuals, and you can't be lazy and just go give a wholesale protest. And then you have to single out the individuals and do it in a way that doesn't harm certain people and benefits others. I mean, that's the only answer. But you're asking if it would be virtually impossible?
In other words, if there's a public practice, and you know, for example, by you publicly going out publicly against the protest, there are going to be some who are even sitting on the sidelines that now at least they won't participate in the evil, and some that are participating in the evil will now do tshuva. But you definitely know that others are just going to be more insistent, perhaps be mazidin, because
it would seem logical that if you will be helpful to some people, that then you should protest.
Okay.
But you never say that the person that is, you never keep a person away from, oh, Tim Natuv Nibola. You can't keep
right.
Good away from an individual just because this other guy's going to be chote. You can't say, this guy, you'll never really know, and I'll never really teach him. I won't teach him the ideas of Yadus. I won't teach him Torah Messina. I won't. Why? Because this other guy may go away and become not from altogether. You can't do that, because then you're being Monea, the good, from its rightful owner. So that's absolutely not. There's no question about that. I mean, that's a simple thing. That you don't. Why should you allow a person that's evil to take away from a person that's good? So as long as there's someone that's good there, you would have to do it. But if it's possible to do it in a way that you eliminate the other individual, then you must do that. I mean, you can't just do it without chachma and just make a wholesale protest. I mean, you have to use chachma first to isolate the individual. But if it's impossible, you definitely cannot. You cannot keep the good away. You don't say, "I'll keep the good away from this guy," because that guy's going to get worse.
Right. So mutav sheyishogem al mezidin has nothing to do with the end result. For example, in the bias where you knew they were doing corrupt activities, and if you would have criticized, you know, the corrupt activities would have still taken place, but would have had less participants, then you mechuyev to protest.
That's correct.
Okay.
Okay. Alrighty.
Good question,
then. Yeah. No, that you don't do. You never did that. No, so then your perfection, you have to work on it another way. That you can't do. You can't, you cannot perfect yourself at the expense of somebody else. No, that you don't let it do. That you have no right to. So you work on your perfection another way.
Mm-hmm.
Other way. You can't destroy other people for your own benefit. Okay. So now let's see. Let's go a little further. Now the Gemara says like this. The Gemara says, now the Gemara asks a question. Here's where we're coming close to the area we started out to do with Thomas Chosovas. So the Gemara says, Umayshina tough. So he wants to know, why was this tuff chosen to be imprinted on the forehead of the tzaddikim and the rishonim? The Gemara held it was both. Tesis makes a point to mention it. He says lo mikrokomer. It doesn't say in the pasuk anyways that they put a red cuff on the rishon. Just says the black one on the tzaddik. Says lo mikrokomach el mitzvara. It was only something deduced mitzvara. Says because the pasuk only says only by tzaddikim gemur. So apparently, so you see Chazal when they studied an area, they deduced more than what the pasuk says. The pasuk says just to put a black stuff, but the Gemara says no, it doesn't make any sense because if you're putting a black stuff on the tzaddik, you have to put a red stuff on the rasha. So Masha says, I don't know what kind of a svara that is. He says where do you see the svara? But apparently the way Chazal learned that parrot, they learned the idea of the tuff was that it was supposed to be something which was a demonstration. It was the purpose of the tuff was a demonstration that this person that has a tuff is going to survive, and this person that has a red tuff is going to succumb. So in other words, if it's a demonstration, so the Gemara says you have to demonstrate the Rasha and the Tzaddik. It's not enough just to demonstrate. It's not evil and good are two opposites. So if you're demonstrating, it's just as important to demonstrate the evil, that the evil man succumbs, as to demonstrate that the righteous man prevails. So that's what Taisa means misfar. That's what it means misfar. Even though it doesn't say so in the pasuk, but if it's a demonstration of the value of the good, and that's why the tuff was imprinted on his forehead, so then there must have been a red tuff on the rasha. Because you can't tell me it's more important to show that the tzaddik survives than to show that the rasha succumbed. Because when you study good and evil, you have to know both sides. I mean, you have to know they're two opposites, and from one you know the other, and you can't. From good, you know what evil is, and vice versa. If you know what evil is, you know what the good is. You can't separate the two. So that's the svara that Taisus is saying. That's what Taisus means by svara. So Chazal, when they saw the parrot, they went beyond what the parrot itself said, that it was just the black stuff. They said the parrot didn't have to go any further, but it's obvious that there must have been a red tuff for the Russia. Tuff shall not. Okay. Now the Gemara is like this.
The Gemara says, Mishna Tav. Why was the letter Tav chosen? Okay. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav. Tav Tichya Tav Tamos. Okay? Because Tav could be both. Tav is the beginning of Tichya, you shall live. So the black one on the head of the Tzaddik was Tichya, you shall live. But the red one on the head of the Russia was Tamas, you shall die. Okay, so what's the import of this? I mean, what are Chazal telling you? So basically the idea is, I think this idea is an idea that's mentioned many times, like many times in the Chamish Chamshat Torah. It's mentioned that the Torah goes out of its way to show that the same thing can do opposites. And a person shouldn't think like the samata zeh tikach biyadecha. So kacha samata, because the Jews said the mata. Hey, there's something about the mata. The mata shall peronius. It smote the Egyptians. So God told Moshe, when you take that mata and now make water come out of the stone. Why to show it's not the mata? The mata doesn't mean anything. It's the person's bechira. The same matzah can be good and can be bad. It depends. There's nothing in the matzah. Okay? It's all based upon your free will. So, that's the idea I think that Rav is saying. That why was Tav chosen? Because Tav is Tichya and Tav is Tamas. There's nothing special about the Tav. You can finish it off either for life, you can finish it off for death. What does it depend upon? Solely upon the individual. The individual's free will is what determines, not the Tav. There's nothing magical about the Tav. Nothing extraneous can influence a person's fate. Only his own free will and his own decision-making process. Okay, that's what I think Robert's saying. That's the idea of Tav. Okay. Now the Gemara says, Shmuel Amar. Shmuel says no. Tav stands for something else. It stands for Tamas Chusavos. Here's what we come into. Here's what Chusavos comes in. Tamas Chusavos. Chusavos are gone. We have no more schusavos. So tough, there, how does it work? Because tough means the end. It's the end of the alphabet. The end. So it means, tough means the end of something. So what does it mean? What is it the end of? So the Gemara says it meant it's the end, that tough showed it's the end of the schusavos. And the same tough was written on the Russia as on the Tzad. What does that mean? So what is the concept over here? What is the idea? You see, and how do you get from tough to Thomas Chusavos? What it means is like this. See, Chusavos means some benefit that you have which is not a result of your Bechira. So you'll see that the idea of Chazal, at first they sound very far apart, but then when you look in a little deeper, you see they're much closer than you think at first sight. The idea of Thomas Chusavos is that tough was, you are on your own. In other words, this was a moment of judgment. In the real moment of judgment, you have nothing else to benefit you. Okay? That's what the tough was. Thomas Chusavos. Which means that this tough means the end. What is it the end of? It's the end of any kind of favorable outcome due to something that's not your bechira. And that's the schosavos. Okay? That's the schosavos. Okay? That's what the tough is. Alright? So again, it's tied into the idea of the individual's bechira. Then the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan Amar, he says just the opposite. Tachon Chusavos. That Chusavos should, in fact, take place. The Chusavos should work. This seems exactly the opposite. Okay, this seems exactly the opposite. All right, anybody want to try to take a crack at that one? Tachon Chusavos. But on the contrary, that the Chusavos should be effective. Okay? And what is that idea? Tachon Chusavos. see, we have to understand what we mean by schusavos. What are schusavos? What do you mean by schusavos? And Tesis will differentiate between schusavos and brisavos. Because take a look at Rabbeinu Tam. Same Rabbeinu Tam. Tam, Shmuel Tam is schusavos. Rabbeinu Tam says, schusavos Tamo. Schusavos is gone. Avo brisavos, the bris of the avos, lo Tamo. Dorksiv, the pasuk says, the zachati is brisi Yaakov, aflach argolos. Okay? And the anon, einanu maskirin schusavos. So Rabbeinu Tam says, when we are mispala, we're not mispala for schusavos anymore. Because we lost it. Elo abris. We're only mispala for brisavos. What is the difference? And by the way, Rashi doesn't agree with that. Rashi holds brisavos is gone too. So what is the difference between the idea of schusavos and brisavos? What are these two entities? The thing is like this. That what is schusavos? Schusavos means a derech mashal. That if somebody comes to me and asks me for a favor, so I'll say, should I do this person a favor? So if I know the person and I think he's a virtuous individual, so I'll do him the favor based on the fact that he's a virtuous person. But let's say I don't know. He's anonymous. I don't know. But I know he has a wonder. His father was a great tzaddik. Okay? So I'll say, bizchus your father, I'll help you. What does that mean? Is it just totally nonsensical? No, it's not nonsensical. Because it means like this. It means I knew your father, and your father was an individual who was a great person. And therefore, you were probably raised in that, you were definitely raised in that environment, and you probably, because you were raised in that environment, you probably have certain virtuous characteristics, you see. Why? Not characteristics that you attain through your bechira, but certain virtue which you simply obtain because of your situation. You see? So zechus avos means certain benefits that we have, or that in this case an individual has because of his avos. So if I'm raised by a tzaddik, so then part of the good that I partake of is not due to my bechira. Of course, I have bechira, and eventually, I mean, as great a training as I have, I mean, I have to be on my own. I'm going to have my own nisyonos, my own bechira, and if I'm virtuous, it'll be due to the fact that I exercise my bechira. But a part of the good that I partake of is not due to the bechira; it's due to how I was raised. Okay? That's chusavos. And the same thing is true with us and the avos. The avos, because of the avos, their influence went down through the generations. So many of the good things that we have is only because we had these avos. That's the chusavos. Tomos chusavos means that's gone. That we strayed so far through the generations that any benefit that we have now is not because of the influence of the others. It's not because of the influence of the others. That influence is lost. It's gone. It's only now. It's only whatever we have. You see, and whatever we can do ourselves. That's the idea of Tamos Chosavos. But the idea of Tachons Chosavos is just the opposite. Tachons Chosavos means that the tough was that the people should be saved because the Nevuah was saying that the Schusavos is still there. They still didn't break the chain. They still did not break the chain enough to remove them from being recipients of the benefit of the influence of the others. So Tachon Schusavos means that these people at this time were still in a position to retain the connection between themselves and the Avos and to save Klal Yisrael through that medium. You see? That's the idea of Tachon Schusavos. Tachon Schusavos means that Tuf stood for just the opposite. It stood for the fact that they should be saved not because of their own Schus. See, the first way, they're diametrically opposed in a sense, but it's dealing with Knesset Yisrael, and the benefit ultimately to Knesset Yisrael from these people. So one learns it's simply a matter of their free will. The other one learns, no, that wasn't the Marian of War. The Marian of War was that these people are at a very crucial point. The Schus Avos is about to be lost, and what they can do is, they're the last ones that they, if they keep the connection, they can maintain the influence and continue that influence for Dore Doros. So that was the tough, according to Rabbi Yochanan. That's Rabbi Yochanan holds. Rabbi Yochanan holds that the tough was that they should be the ones that don't allow the Schus Avos to break off. A different concept. And that should be the means through which they will be saved, and they're saved because their function is to save Knesset Yisrael. Okay? That's Tachon Schus Avos. Alright? So, okay. In other words, Shmuel's idea was in terms of their Bechira. It's a Yom HaDin, and only the Bechira can save them. Rav Yochanan's idea was it wasn't a matter of a Yom HaDin and their Bechira and their Tzidkis will save them, but what will save them is the fact that they can carry on the Schus Avos. And because of that, because of their ability to carry on the Schus Avos, that's why they weren't destroyed with the others. Okay? V'Rish Lakish Amar Tof Sof Chosomo Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Gomar Rabbi Chanina Chosomo Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Emes. Okay. What is it? This is a very famous phrase that everybody knows. Emes is Chosomo Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But what does that mean? That seems to be in a completely different direction. But Rashi explains, what does it mean, MS? What does it mean, Chosomo, God's seal, signature, so to speak? What does that mean? So Rashi says, Emtsoyus Liosios, I believe there's a lot of missing it, but I should say, Mem, Emtsoyus Liosios, V'lishon V'achron Al-Shem Ani Rishon V'ani Achron V'ani Hu. So it means the word MS, the letters were put together in a way that they reflect the most important idea in Yadav, and that is that Ani Hashem Rishon, Ani Hashem Achron, and Ani Hu, which means to say that the only thing that's real is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. God is the only thing that's real. The universe is a created thing, and God is the only reality. And the word Emes was structured alphabetically that way, that Mem is a letter from the middle, and Aleph is from the beginning, and Tav is from the end. Whenever we use the word emes, the reason why we're structured that way is because whenever we use the word emes, we should always realize, what is emes? Emes always leads us back to God. That is the true emes. Emes means that which is real. You see, it's not like a simplistic idea of a lie. I mean, you know, you can't tell a lie. That's what people ask the kashas about Yaakov and the how can you tell a lie to get the brachas. But that's nonsensical. Because the idea of a lie is that it is a forfeiture of emes, of that which is real. So therefore, what was real is that the brachas belonged to Yahya the Yaakov. What was false was Esav. So the word emes, whenever we use the word emes, the language was created in a way that when you say a person shouldn't tell a lie, what does it mean? It means that if he does, he's moving away from God. Anytime a person does that, he's moving away from that which is real. What is real? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that word, that's what it means, Chosomo. What it means when Chazal say that Emes is Chosomo Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's exactly what it means. It means that word was tailor-made alphabetically, that a person should realize, whenever he talks about the Emes, what does it mean? It's not a simplistic idea. Emes means, that's the route to God. So that's why Midvar Sheket Tirchot. So the Torah doesn't say, you shouldn't tell a lie. It says, Midvar Sheket Tirchot. You should keep away from it, a distance. Why a distance? Because it's evil. Because that which is not true is ultimately a denial of that which is true, and ultimately it's a denial of God. That's why it says, Midvar Sheket Tirchot. That's what Chazal mean when they say that Emes is Chosomo Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It means that word was made alphabetically in a way to remind people, whenever they use it, what it means, a very serious matter. You see? If you don't say the MS, that means you're on the path to denial of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay. So the well, let's get back to the pshat. So the Gemara says that Rish Lakish says that's what it means. Tough. Tough is the last letter of Chosomo Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, that's what the tough stands for. So now the Gemara says like this. So what does this have to do? And then one more. Rishmul Barachmeni Yama Elu Bnei Adam Shekimu Es HaTorah Kula Me Alafat Tav. Okay. So the Gemara says these are the people that are Mekayim the whole Torah from Alafat Tav. Another shot. Yeah. But what is the idea? See, the idea is like this. Why does the Gemara go into detail about the Tav? Because the question is really, it goes back to the question of not being mocha. That if the individual doesn't protest, okay, so then that means that he caves in because of his need and his desire for acceptance, so he caves in and he embraces the avera, so the Gemara has to show what that undoes in each case. That's the significance of the tough. So the first one says that it undoes his bechira. Tough was chosen because it's all his bechira. So that means that by embracing the evil, by not protesting, so this individual undoes his bechira. Okay, that's the first two. The next one is Tomas Chosovos. I'm sorry, no, that's the same one. Sorry. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Tachon Chosavos. So what does it mean, Tachon Chosavos? That's what the tough meant. It means like this. It means that by the individual not protesting, in that way, he completely breaks the chain between the avos and between himself. That's the breach of the chain. You see? That if he doesn't protest, that's the whole incident was that tough was there, but then the tough was undone. Okay? So it means to say that what was undone was the tachon chosavos. So it means a person by doing this avera, namely, by not protesting and by not putting at risk his acceptance, is breaking the chain of the others. Okay? Then the next one is tough is so chosomo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It means that by doing that, what is he doing? He is breaking his relationship to Emes. He's breaking his relationship to. It's not simply a matter of he's not strong enough. Emotionally, it's not a matter of emotionally he's not strong enough. It means that his whole knowledge system is affected by this. That's what it means. Emes is chosomo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It means his whole system of knowledge now has been affected because he doesn't have the courage to put at risk his acceptance by people. So his whole relationship to Emes, his whole relationship to knowledge has been lost. That's according to the Mandam of Tar. I don't believe it's Machwekis. I believe it's Ma Machada Ma Machada Lakwi. That is, this is not really a Machwekis. The Chazal is just bringing out different facets of what the person loses if he should not be willing to stand up to the challenge and place at risk his need for acceptance. You see, he's accepting some people. That's what Chazal is saying. And each one is just another dimension. He loses his bechira, he loses his chosavos, he loses his intellectual relationship to God, and also, the last one is Elu b'nei Odom shekimu es HaTorah kula me alafat tach. It means even if the guy's Makayan kol HaTorah kula, he lost it. It doesn't matter. It sounds great. Guy's Makayan kol HaTorah kula me alafat tach. Wow, what could be better than that? But if he doesn't do this, if he's not willing to protest, it's worthless. He lost it. He lost the alafat tach. So that's why Chazal really makes such a big issue out of this. It's because they hold, and they know that here is a serious battleground. This is not just a minor, something minor. This is a very serious battleground, and the human being's entire perfection is at stake, and his relationship to the others is at stake. Okay. Now, let's just go through the various shittas you have over here with regard to chosavos. It's interesting. So according to Rashi, actually, and Rashi says in Tanakh, Rashi simply learns. You see, the crucial thing is this. The Gemara now goes on. The Gemara says, Me'emasai tamas chosavos. When did chosavos cease? At what point was the influence of the others lost? And everything we have is not due to the others. Now you notice it's an interesting thing. I mean, the chosavos. It's a very interesting phenomenon in itself. Because everybody would say, what do you need chosavos for? What about chosina? Mekabel Torah Sina? No, apparently that's not enough. Apparently Sinai is not enough. Sinai is Tayyag and Sinai is Kol HaTorah Kula, that's correct. But everything goes back to the Avos. The Avos reflect the individuals of perfection. The individuals, and Avram Avinu became perfected completely from his own Bechira. That's the whole story of Avram. He didn't have any Chosavos because his father was a Rasha, and Avram was a Zav. So Avram Avinu was the one who came to the truth completely from his own Bechira, with no assistance. So, Yitzchak and Yaakov were a continuation of the idea of the others. And they themselves had, their Muna in God was based upon their own knowledge. Just like Avram. So the others are the perfected individuals. The others reflect the total perfection, and their influence is an extremely significant element in Klal Yisrael. I mean, that's why, like I mentioned last Shabbos, you see that in our system is the only system where we do certain activities, and yet the individuals who are the founders of the system didn't participate in those same activities, because it's not a club idea. In other words, mitzvahs, tayag mitzvahs. Did the others do tayag mitzvahs? Many Rishonim, the Rambam among them, hold that they didn't do tayag mitzvahs. The Rambam and Nichus Malachim. But the Rambam says, Avram Avinu, what he did, and Yitzchak added, and one mitzvah, two mitzvahs, but basically tayag they didn't keep. And there are those, there's a Maimar Chazal that implies that they kept everything, even Rabbanim. So Avram and Rambam says that's just a metaphor. All it means was that there wasn't any perfection from any mitzvah that they were lacking. It doesn't mean they actually did these mitzvahs. It doesn't take the Chazal to be literal. But the Ramban, there were those that did take the Chazal literally, and all that through Mari and Avua, they knew Kol HaTorah Kula and they kept the mitzvahs. But the Ramban works out a pshara. He says, in Eretz Yisrael they kept the mitzvahs, outside of Eretz Yisrael they didn't keep the mitzvahs. So where do you find the system that the ones who everyone looks up to as models, Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, they didn't involve themselves in the same activities and performances that we do. That would seem to break the identification. The identification is we all do the same thing. So the answer, of course, is that in Yadus, mitzvahs is not an identification through club membership. The mitzvahs themselves just lead to one thing. The mitzvahs lead to perfection. And the others are the perfected individuals. So the mitzvahs.
Hello.
Okay. So the mitzvahs only serve one purpose. The purpose of the mitzvahs is to lead to those individuals who we admire as perfected individuals. Avram, Lekei Yitzchak, Lekei Yaakov. The others. That's the purpose. That's the idea of chosavos. That's the idea of chosavos. So chosavos means their influence that went through the generations and reached certain individuals. But the Gemara says there was a time when it stopped. That was the end of it. A very, very great loss. A very unfortunate thing. And the Gemara says, what time did it stop? So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Mimoso Shea Ben Be'eri, Shinema, that God says that I'm going to reveal the Nevola,
the lowness of Klal Yisrael in front of her friends, and no one will save her. So what does it mean no one will save her? Even the others. So that was the time of Hashem. The reason why Chazal say Hashem was because the Gemara says in Sochem that Hashem, that God told Hashem, your children sin. So Hashem said, you have the whole world, so take somebody else, take another nation. So Chazal say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was upset with Hashem's answer. Because not only what he should have said, so what he should have said was, he should have said no. He should have said that Klal Yisrael, he should have asked for Rachmanis, Rachamim. So, and he did, not only didn't he ask for Rachamim, but he said, switch him, change him, put the, another nation. So what Chazal is saying is that it wasn't just the Navi, of course. What it meant was that the Navi should have searched deeper for some kind of a way to, some kind of an insight for Klal Yisrael. That's what it means, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't like his answer, so to speak. It means that he didn't exercise his full powers. But he wasn't wrong. There was something there. So Chazal say that at that point it was Thomas Chazalos. Okay. The other chat, Shmuel Amami Mei Chazal, Shinema Vachazal Malach Aram Lochatz as Yisroel Kol Mei Yehalochas. Excuse me. Vayichan Hashem Oz, Vayichan Hashem Ozom, Vayirachamein. Vayichan Aleihem Laman Briso as Avram et Yitzchak V'Yakov V'lo Ovo Ashchisom V'lo Ishtichom Me'alponav Ad Ata. So there's a concrete pasuk which you see states clearly that he didn't throw them away until now, ad ata. So Rashi says, so he says, Vayifan alein l'man briso, avon mikan v'eilech ha-shlichim v'lo ponel brisavos. So you see, Rashi says that brisavos is gone also. I will soon explain what brisavos is. But Rashi maintains that brisavos is gone also. And now why that time, the time of Chazoyel? I'll just tell you what I think. I mean, it's hard to talk to, I can't say that I understand exactly these machlekes and what they're telling you. I can just give you certain, certain markers, about them, but I can't really explain it. But the thing with Chazoyel is because that was an Elisha. It means this one is similar to the next one. You'll see. The Gemara says, Rav Shulman Levim and Mei Eliyahu. So Rashi says, Hayomi vada, Shata zocha brisav misriyag, midakama hayomi vada, vasulo, mekal the tama. Okay. So that's the machlekes, whether it was in times of Yo or his Talmud Elisha. That's the machlekes over there. So the question was Hosea, Elisha, or Eliyo. And then the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan Ami Mei Chizkiyo. Shinema Lamabe Amisra Lashom En Ketzal Kishu Dova Mamachta Lachanus Olasar Ad Mishpat Nehatu Adon Kinesar Hashem Svarkas Tatsidos. So that's the fourth position with Chizkiyo, because Chizkiyo, Chazal say, was supposed to be the Melech HaMashiach. So, if it weren't for one Avera, he was supposed to be the Melech HaMashiach. So Chazal say, this Chazal maintains that up to that point, the Chusavos and Brisavos were not Tama. But, I mean, again, I can't go into the details of each point, but what I'd like to do is just try to understand the concepts of what it means Tama Chusavos and Brisavos. So Chusavos, I explained to you, Chusavos is the benefit of the influence that is filtered down from the others. And that reached a point where that's it, it's gone. So, and that's what the Ramban says, that Chusavos is Tama, is based on, but the Ramban shows not from this Gemara, the Ramban shows from Yecheskel, because Yecheskel was later, and he says, you see Yecheskel clearly, and Yecheskel doesn't mention anymore about Chusavos, he just mentions about the Kiddush Hashem, Laman Shemir Agav. That's the only reason that they'll be redeemed. So we can't be redeemed anymore because of Chusavos, because that's God. Okay. Brisavos, Rashiel's Brisavos is gone too. Rabbeinu Tam disagrees. Rabbeinu Tam maintains Brisavos still exists, Chusavos is gone.
What is bris avos?
Where is that, Rashi?
Rashi is, Rashi says, like, Rashi is, yeah, Rashi is Dibra Maschil, Dibra Maschil, Vayifen Aleihem Laman Briso Es Avram Velo Ishlichem Me'alponav Adato. Avo Mikan Ve'elech Ishlichem Velo Pono El Brisovos. That's Rashi. Okay? So Rashi maintains we don't have any more Brisovos either. Brisovos is gone. Okay, what is Brisovos? You see, Brisovos means that we reflect the Avos. So that means that we as a nation, our responsibility is to act in a way that brings the world in line with the idea of the Avos, of the bris between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Avos. So that means that we reflect these Avos. Now, that's a different idea. If we have strayed so far away that we, to a certain degree, so far, at a certain point, we're simply unrelated to them, even as a reference, because there's nothing in common. You see? That's bris avos. So you could lose chus avos, but you could still have bris avos, because you still reflect the avos. The identity of the avos is still in Klal Yisrael, because they act in a way where they reflect the avos. They may not have, the influence may be lost. We lost the influence filtering down through the generations from the avos, because of our hour of errors. But it doesn't necessarily mean that we don't reflect these individuals. That when people look at us, we still act in a way that it reflects the others. You see, that's bris avos. That's a machlekes. Rabbeinu Tam maintains bris avos still exists. Rashi maintains that bris avos is gone also. It would appear the Ramban maintains like Rashi, because there's only one thing left. When you lose bris avos, and we lose chus avos and bris avos, there is still one thing left. And that's what the Ramban is pointing out. And that is what Yecheskel says, Am Hashem, that we still are the Am Hashem, an identity of a nation. A nation that has received the Torah, and a nation that has gone through the Golus, and we still are that nation. That's the only thing that's left. But the chus avos is gone, and the bris avos is gone as well. That's Rashi Shita, and Ramban would seem to agree with it. Rabbeinu Tam maintains that the bris avos exists, schus avos is gone. But it's interesting. I'll show you something. There's two interesting points here. Let me just finish off the Taisus. Because the Taisus, the first Taisus says, now, then you're going to have a hard time learning that pasuk like Rashi learns Arata. That they learn from Arata. So you listen to Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam learns different gifts. I said, Laman Briso. Because Siv Laman Briso looks Siv Laman Chuso. So that's Rabbeinu Tam's gift. But it's a tough shot. I mean, and he says in Vayikra Rabbah, it says openly like Rashi. That's Dayat Me Arata. To the Pirish Bekunshus. Then you're gonna have a hard time because you're gonna have to say that the Bris is only until then we lost Bris of us also. So it's a difficulty in Rabbeinu Tam. But, that's a difficulty. So now the Ri introduces a new idea, a comforting idea. The Ri near the low pligi Shmuel Rabbi Yochanan, and the Shmuel Kaomar the Rishoyim Tama, Avol the Tzadikim Lo Tama, Ube Tzadikim Ira Rabbi Yochanan, Teida the Rabbi Yochanan of the Samach brings good right. The Mimei Chizkiya Thomas Chusavos. Rabbi Yochanan says that from Zayin Chizkiya there was no Chusavos. V'ocha Kama Daf Peshas Korum the Basa Achi Tachan Chusavos.